T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Best thing I saw on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line last hour is, Damon, so are you pronouncing advertisement wrong, or have I been doing that?
So you don't say advertisement.
Well, I would say you're advertising. I wouldn't say you're advertising, but I do say advertisement, not advertisement.
See, I say advertisement.
I go Old English on it. I go London. I go old English on that. Yeah, I don't know why. I've always said advertisement.
So I'm thinking both is correct.
I think it's because my grandmother called them advertisements.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Well, that's very possible. My dad grew up in the Midwest, and he never said Coke, or he would say pop. You want a pop?
Right. Soda.
So I always say pop.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where you got it from.
Yeah. Pop meant you were talking about my dad. Like, to me, I couldn't believe they were called a pop. I'm like, you mean soda?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no bags in the Midwest either. It's called sacks.
Oh, sacks.
Sacks. You want a paper sack or a plastic sack?
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just different languages, different places, different words, different pronunciations.
Keeping it old school, Damon. Advertisement.
Speaking of great pronunciations, do we have that Ricky Henderson cut where Ricky is talking about Oakland over and over and thanking everyone, thanking the schools, thanking, you know, everyone in Oakland? It was one of my favorite moments from the Ricky Henderson field induction ceremony. If you could play that for me, too, because he invented my new favorite word in this moment.
My journey and life lesson have came from Oakland. My heart and soul is forever Oakland. And now you have me permanently in Oakland with this field. I love you, Oakland.
That wasn't it. It was the one where he thanks everyone in Oakland, like the fire department, the police department almost. He goes through like all city services. Can you find that one for me?
Today's journey could not have been complete without the support of my family, Major League Baseball, the city of Oakland, the Oakland organization, the Oakland school system, the Oakland Park and Recreation, my teammates, my friends, the Oakland Coliseum personnel, but most of all, the fans, especially the Oakland fan.
Phenomenal. I mean, that man is a walking, talking embodiment of the city of Oakland. The way that he thanked all the services there is fantastic. So much so, I'd like you to lean in a little bit closer, because I didn't notice this until I rewatched it over again, but Ricky Henderson should now have officially renamed the Oakland Parks and Recreation. He called it the Oakland Parks and Recreation.
Yes, he did.
And the Parks and Recreation of the city of Oakland should officially change its name to the Oakland Park and Recreation.
The Oakland Park and Recreation.
Park and Recreation.
That is beautiful. God, I love Ricky Henderson. We're going to have Dave Cavill on in about an hour from now. And I'm just going to make sure. Does Dave understand that Oakland, that Ricky Henderson is literally the greatest living asset to his franchise? Every day should be Ricky Henderson Field Dedication Day. They should bring out Ricky for a pregame 5-minute speech ahead of every single game. I'm dead serious.
The Oakland Park and Recreation.
And they should change their name to that immediately. Park and Recreation.
The Oakland Park and Recreation.
That is City, Oakland, you blew it on the Raiders. Don't blow this opportunity. Embrace who you are. Embrace your past. Embrace your present and your future. Embrace Ricky Henderson. Whatever Ricky wants to call you, Ricky gonna say.
The Oakland Park and Recreation.
I love him.
He's pretty great.
This unconditional Ricky Henderson love. I could catch Ricky in bed with my wife, and I'd be like, did you at least take her to an Oakland Park and Recreation site before you did this to me, Ricky? Because I could live with that if you did that.
The Oakland Park and Recreation.
I love him. I love Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson. Hashtag Ricky Henderson forever. I love it. That is fantastic. I was thinking a little bit more about this whole Amazon Prime story that we were talking about at the end of last hour and all the different things that you could be sold during a football game. Let's say Amazon Prime, because you've ordered several 49er jerseys from them in the past. They know you're a 49er fan. Amazon Prime knows that for every five NFL products that you buy, four of them got a Niners logo and has reached the conclusion that you, the person in the Bay Area buying all this Niner stuff, is now buying Niner gear. You must be a Niner fan because you're watching the Niners here on Thursday Night Football. Let's say there is a terrible call that goes against your 49ers, and it's the kind of call that we all know we'll be talking about in the opening segment of our show the next day. An egregiously awful football screwed you over. Now you're going to lose. Officials blew it. Call. What if while they're reviewing that replay, a little button pops up offering a discount on Kleenex to 49er fans?
That's pretty good.
Hey, since you're crying about this terrible officiating tonight, we want to let you know the Kleenex boxes are 3-for-1 right now on Amazon Prime. I mean, this goes to infinity. Oh, the advertising opportunities do go to infinity.
They'll come up with something every time. They could come up with like chips and dip dishes. I mean, whatever you could need for a Super Bowl party or a game night party. I can't imagine. It's very, very smart. And you literally can sit back and just click a button on your TV and buy it then.
Boop.
Like, right. Oh, this could be very bad for me.
Boop. Be like, oh, I just sat down to watch a Thursday night football game and I spent $600. All this crap will be getting here in the next 3 days. Just boxes of stuff being shipped to the house. Be like, well, it went to overtime.
And you know what, husbands, if you didn't think your wives liked football, well, look at this. You just combine shopping and football together. Genius.
I'm so glad you said that, because if I did it, I'd be getting crucified.
Why? There's people out there who do not like shopping. Who don't like football. And if your wives don't, they like to shop, you can do both.
If I suggested, just for a millisecond, that now, ladies, you can watch Thursday Night Football too, because shopping's available, I'm on awful announcing tomorrow. Thank you for saying it. I appreciate that you did it. It's not me.
I said, a misogynist. If your wives do not like football, which some might not, or husbands, whatever.
If your wife doesn't like football, you married the wrong lady.
I did say wives as a plural.
There's that. But I mean it. That is just a ridiculous amount of opportunities. I mean, my God, they can extend it to the broadcasters. You know, they cut away to who's ever doing Thursday night, Al and Chris or whoever it is, and hey, that tie.
Yeah.
It's a nice tie Al Michaels is wearing. Boop.
What if the weather's...
Buy it right now.
What beep if boop, the weather's bad?
Beep boop on the nose.
Exactly. You can just buy it right there. Beep boop.
Beep boop. Beep boop on the nose.
It's going to be easy to buy anything you want. They come back. They got the they got the cameraman walking through the concourse at Arrowhead Stadium. They go by the Arthur Bryant's famous rib stand. Hey, now I can order direct freeze-dried packaged ribs to my house for next week's Super Bowl party. And I didn't even think of that, but because they're dope, and now yep. I want these ribs, and so I gotta just do beep boop.
Beep boop. Beep boop on the nose.
Boom, and you got ribs.
It's perfect. If it's raining, you can get an umbrella. I mean, think about it. They're going to pay attention to anything and everything that
sure
would make sense for that moment. Blankets. 49er blankets. Raider blankets. Towels.
If there's a big protest outside of an NFL stadium, you can buy a Kendall Jenner Pepsi. By the way, when your entire advertising department is looking for five new employees the next day, it's probably a rough weekend over at Pepsi-Cola. I will say that Kendall Jenner video is as singularly tone-deaf as the Aldous Snow African Child video from Get Him to the Greek.
Yeah.
It really is. That is the most out-of-touch thing in the world. My favorite story, as everyone's expressing their feigned outrage over this today, is that, you know, Kendall Jenner wishes that she could have been there at the Women's March, but she couldn't because she was at Fashion Week in Paris. Right. She's such a cynical, she's such a warrior. I've got like 30 jokes. I've got 30 jokes. Some are racial. Some are, there's a Bruce Jenner joke in there that I can't
tell. Okay.
There's like 15 to 20 really good jokes that I have about this, and I can't tell them to anyone. I can't. But was, you know, like, was I offended by it? No, nothing offends me. I'm Damon Bruce. You can't offend me. I dare you to offend me. It's just, you can't do it.
It's very hard to do.
It's going to be really tough to make this kid blush. I'm sorry. But, like, I mean, the only way that that could have created a bigger you-know-what storm in the angry echo chamber that is Twitter, I swear to God, right before she goes over to make her statement about police violence, she should have put on all blackface. That would have been just the piece de resistance on this advertisement. Excuse me, on this advertisement.
Advertisement.
Did I just say advertisement?
You did.
I meant advertisement.
Oakland Park and Recreation.
And that too.
I like Coca-Cola anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take it a step further. Mexican Coke.
Out of a bottle.
Mexican Coke out of the old-fashioned Coke bottle.
Yep.
Real cane sugar, not high fructose corn syrup.
Nope, that's my kind of pop right there.
That is good stuff right there. I would order that off of Amazon Prime. By the way, how would I go ahead and order that during an NFL game if I needed a Mexican Coke? What is the numbers that I push?
Beep, boop on the nose.
And that's it?
Done.
It was that easy?
It's too easy.
That is fantastic. 888-957-9570. Larry Taxi. Larry, how are you?
Hey, Damon, I'm great. How are you, buddy?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, it's nice to hear you back at the your second home at 66th Avenue. I love when you do that. Hey, by the way, that April Fool's joke was quite a riot.
Pretty good.
There's another April Fool's joke that Mark Davis is taking his team to Mexico on a cruise, a Disney cruise, because it's such a Mickey Mouse outfit. And if he doesn't do that, he's actually going to go to Las Vegas on a 20 mule team of jackasses because that's who he is.
Okay.
Other than that, by the way, I want you to know, Damon, that I met Ricky Henderson, okay, at the Krogan's Bar in Oakland. And it is Oakland. And he is a really nice guy. And the guy is in great shape, Damon. I told him, you should get back out there. You could still steal bases.
Look.
And he said, oh, yeah, I don't think so. Ricky going to not do that. But he is slim. But he's not shady, Damon.
Thank you very much. See, everything makes this makes anything better. Ricky Henderson does look like he could still play. There is not whatever Ricky's weight was on the last day of Ricky's career, I bet you that's what Ricky's weighing right now.
He is in good shape. He looks good.
Seriously, he has not aged much at all. The guy looks the same. He looks the same. I couldn't help but notice that Ricky has now ditched the Cosby sweater. I think that's a rough fashion statement to be making these days. But Ricky went down the Cosby sweater path and walked almost exclusively on that for a 6, 7, 8 year period.
Oh.
Ricky was wearing like really elaborate sweaters. That was his go-to.
He had a very nice suit on. He looked great.
He did. And you know, it's funny.
Gray suit.
Tony Bruno brought up how good Jose Canseco looked in his suit, which came out of his closet from like 1991.
Really?
Do you think there's anything in your closet from 1991 that fits you like a glove right now?
Yeah, no, pretty sure not.
I've got a suit that I bought for an event that was about a month and a half ago, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't even fit well now.
Who keeps clothing items for like 25 years?
Well, you probably keep a tailored suit that you probably spent $3,000
okay,
on.
Maybe.
You probably keep that around if it's tailored to you. You buy a tailored suit, that's with you for life. You don't go turning around and sell and putting your Italian tailored suit to Goodwill.
I guess because they don't go out of style like women's dresses do and things like that.
Well, it's funny. He did kind of have that really like boxy, big shouldered, like 80s look, but I just think that's. It's kind of like Jose Canseco fills out a jacket like that, no matter what the jacket is, no matter how the jacket's cut.
Gotcha.
He did have that triple-breasted suit, though. It was triple-breasted, and that last button. So did you know on the triple-breast button, that bottom button's optional, Gianna?
Oh, okay.
In case you didn't know.
Why is that?
Well, it's just a gentleman's choice.
Okay.
Dealer's choice.
Okay.
It can be unbuttoned. It can be you.
It's not on purpose to give you a little more room if you need it. So they just say, hey, either or is good. Whatever you're feeling after dinner.
It's an optional button.
Okay.
And if you are, the whole point of wearing a triple-breasted suit is to show that off, though. To you, you know, here are my buttons. Here's the suit. That's the way it looks.
That's like the double buttons on each side.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Making sure I had the right visual.
By the way, Damon, if you want to know why Ricky is still in such good shape, it's probably because he's been working out at the Oakland Park of Recreation. You're right about that.
Oakland Park and Recreation?
You are right about that. Why wouldn't you be outside at the Oakland Park of Recreations and just enjoying all that is the beautiful outdoors over there? Look at what's happened to Klay Thompson since he stepped outside.
I'll probably say the weather's gotten better. This sunshine has been so good to me. Been able to get outside. It just puts me in a great mood to come to the gym every day, get my work in, and go home and enjoy the outdoors. And the Bay Area is beautiful. That's a big part of it. Not even kidding. It's been so nice to be able to get outside.
You know, here's the thing. You don't even have to sell it to me. I'm buying it. I believe you. This place is awesome on a beautiful day. My attitude about everything changes in the Bay Area on a gorgeous afternoon. It puts a bounce in my step. It puts a smile on my face. It gets me tweeting about sundress conditions. It makes everybody happy. It makes the city prettier.
It
makes people comfortable and calm and at ease. And that's why we're all here in California. And, you know, we have all chosen to live here, which means we're rejecting 80% of what California gets all the time weather-wise. But this is the choice we've made. And, man, when San Francisco, when the Bay Area is experiencing a beautiful day, no one looks better in a shorter skirt. No one wears a beautiful day better than San Francisco. She's the prettiest girl in the room. A warm summer night in Chicago is maybe on the same line. A warm summer night in Chicago is absolutely unbeatable. You either have experienced it and you know exactly what I'm talking about, or you haven't done it yet. There's nothing like a warm summer night in Chicago.
Really?
2 a.m, warm breeze, you're in shorts, spilling out of a bar. What do you want to do? It's as warm as 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's keep going.
That's cool. I've only been to Chicago when it's like cold and snowy, but I loved it. Each time I had an amazing time.
You got to go during a warm summer Chicago. Mm. Oh, it's great. Because in the day when the sun's up, it's a little too hot, but when the sun goes down at night, it's just perfect.
The sun does have an effect on your mood. I think it helps increase serotonin.
I've never met serotonin. Is she new here?
She makes you happy. I think it's called serotonin.
Is Sarah with an A or an H?
It's mood lifting.
It is. Well, it's, you know, we're all like plants, little photosynthesis, right? No? It's not working for
vitamin D.
We don't produce carbon dioxide. Yeah, sure we do when we exhale. Come on, kids. This is not science.
How much do you feed off of the D?
Sunny D? It's important. Vitamin D is huge. Seriously, this is good. The weather is conducive to a very deep NBA playoff run for the Golden State Warriors. Let's hope it stays that way. By the way, now that we know that Klay is powered, much like Ra, the Egyptian sun god, by the big ball of light in our universe that heats the earth and lights us and provides warmth for us all, I expect him to go for 70 points in Phoenix tonight. You're playing at the Suns, for goodness sakes, right? Curry, by the way, just loves the fact that Klay is, well, who he is.
He's got a adventurous, you know, personality. So when he gets to go out and explore in his downtime, I'm sure that, you know, gets the adrenaline flowing, if you will. So, but you can never tell because his face is the same. No matter if he has 41 or four, he's always the same expression. So he's a tough read.
Think about it. In a way, he's like the sun. Did you notice the sun's expression doesn't change? It doesn't. It's, the sun never changes. You don't get a half sun. There's no waning or waxing of the sun. The sun rises, the sun sets. That's the story. That's all it does. It's got two settings, rising, noon, and setting. Technically, that's three settings. And that is Klay Thompson. Here are Klay's emotions. Hunger, sleepy, shoot a three. That's it. Those are the only emotions that Klay feels. I'm a little tired, a little hungry. I gotta shoot this rock. That's it. I love him. Absolutely love him. 12-0 since the toaster. What more do you want? Text line says, Damon, you know who else is powered by the sun? Yeah, I do. Son of Jor-El. Superman is powered by the sun.
Yep.
Klay Thompson, have you ever seen him and Clark Kent in the same place?
Well.
Just throwing it out there. Warriors Wednesday, driven by the all-new Premier Kia of Newark, online at premierkiaofnewark.com, and by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Yeah, Klay's also powered by chocolate milk. You're right. He likes chocolate milk. He likes his body armor. I like the fact that Klay Thompson is so comfortable with not giving a damn about anything that he is signed with a shoe company that even though we love Klay Thompson, none of us even know what it is.
It starts with an A.
It's Anta.
That's it. Thank you.
Anti-Anta or something. I don't know. The Klay sneaks. That's what they're called. Klay's kicks. I don't know anyone else who rocks them or wears them. I don't know another player. Hopefully they're selling like hotcakes in China. I think they're the biggest shoe in China. Is that what it is? I think that's it. That's where they come from. I don't know. I've never seen anyone rocking Antas. I got to be totally honest about that. But I can tell you right now, Klay don't care. Klay does not need one pair of shoes sold to validate what he is as a baseball player. Or he's not even a baseball player. He's a basketball player. You know what I mean? That's crazy. What would happen if Klay Thompson stood on a sunny hillside holding a toaster? Think about it. What could happen? Women would just probably start ovulating. Men, too. I love the guy. I love this basketball team. I really do. And what I love is how many people stopped loving the Warriors. You know, I know who everyone is now. I know where everyone stands on the NBA. I've been following you for years on Twitter. I know who you are. I know where you sleep. I know where you eat. I know what you think. I know what you tweet about. And there are a lot of people who are going to have a lot of explaining to do to everyone when it is all said and done. Be like, hey, I know that I'm paid to be a sports analyst, but when it comes to the single biggest conversation in sports, the Golden State Warriors, I've been wrong the entire time. How long? At the end? No, the entire time. I know that the Warriors lost 3-1 in the finals. I get it. I heard about it too. Guess what? They are nothing short of the best team in the world 3 years running. I don't care if the Cavaliers won the championship or not last year. If you start from 2 years ago and you add it up to today, the Golden State Warriors are the better team by a wide margin. It's not even a close conversation. It is a wide margin that this team is better than the rest of the world in. We will be going over how wide those margins are next. John Schumann. He covers the NBA. He is a serious numbers cruncher, an analytics guy, and we'll get into what impresses him most about the Warriors, what the math says might be their greatest challenge throughout the playoffs. That is next here on 95.7 The Game.
It's a beautiful morning. Ball to Klay Thompson. He'll fire for three. That's good. Warriors do that a lot. Threes off offensive rebounds.
I'll probably say the weather's gotten better. This sunshine has been so good to me. Being able to get outside, it just puts me in a great mood to come to the gym every day, get my work in, and go home and enjoy the outdoors. And the Bay Area is beautiful. That's a big part of it. Not even kidding. It's been so nice to be able to get outside.
Curry cross-court skip Thompson. Thompson about a 30-footer. Got it!
pulled up from the Oracle logo.
Made a lot of shots from really far away from the hoop. I don't know. I mean, he's just Clay. That's, the guy's so explosive, and I like that he got to the line quite a bit. 9 free throws. You know, the threes you kind of expect. You know, we take them for granted, I think, in some ways.
It's really easy to take the Golden State Warriors for granted on a shooting night that isn't sparkling, because it pretty much sparkled all of last year, and we are now holding this team against the standard of, hey, one of you guys hits 400 threes, which is an impossible standard to live up to. But the backcourt for the Golden State Warriors has unlocked the magic that kind of defined all of last year, right up into the NBA Finals, of course. And to see if they can keep it going, we're very happy to welcome into the show from NBA.com an advanced stat writer, John Schumann, who I've been following for a really long time on Twitter. I like his work very much, and I'm happy that we were able to book you on the show here, because it takes more than romance to define this team. You got to look at some of the numbers, too, and it's a pleasure to have you on. John, how are you? Damon Bruce.
What's up, Damon? How you doing?
Doing excellent. Thank you. You know, my argument has been, even with the Cavaliers capping off an amazing comeback and coming down from 3-1, any way you want to whack it up, the Golden State Warriors have been far and away the best team in the NBA over the last 3 years. And if you want to measure that from a how you feel about it standpoint, your feeling should tell you that. If you wanted to use really detailed, crunchy analytical numbers, you know, you wanted to break it down into individuals or some of the parts, like, in what way aren't the Warriors the best team by a mile?
I don't know. You know, I still think, you know, the better team, the best team in the league last year did not win. Usually we can say that. Usually we can say, you know, the better team won the series. I don't think that's the case last year. I think, you know, the first four games were more descriptive of those two teams than the last three. But, hey, you know, that's sometimes the way it panned out this year, and I think last year, and I think we're basically in a sort of the same position this year. It's just a matter of if the Warriors can hold it together to get the 16 wins they need to win the championship again.
Well, we'd like to see this thing end in the most ridiculous way possible, which would be them closing the regular season on a 16-game winning streak. And then, John, 16 right in a row. How about 32 to wrap up the year? Do you think that would quiet down the 3-1 comments for just a night on Twitter?
Yes, but I'll believe that when I see it.
Fair enough.
I think they have some good competition, especially in the Western Conference, that's going to prevent that from happening. You know, I think, you know, they're the number one offensive team in the league. They're the number two defensive team in the league. Not too far behind the Spurs in that regard. They've been the number one defensive team since the All-Star break. So, I mean, they're the most complete team for sure. And obviously the most, you know, explosive team. You know, they have the highest ceiling as well. Like I said, it's just a matter of putting it together for 16 games. We had an interesting question, which I was posing to some people today. It was like, which is more likely to happen, the Cavs missing the finals or the Warriors not winning the championship? Because I think it's sort of a take the team versus the good team versus the field. Like I think the Warriors versus the field in regard to the championship is a good question. And I think the Cavs versus the field in regard to the Eastern Conference title is a good question as far as what you would take at this point right now, knowing what we know. And I think I would lean towards the Cavs missing the finals as being more likely. And that's more about my confidence in the Warriors and how good they are than it is in, say, you know, the trio of Toronto, Washington, and Boston having
right.
a chance to knock off the Celtics. I think I have a hard time, you know, I know it happened last year, but I have a hard time imagining the Warriors not, or, you know, some team beating the team, beating the Warriors four times in a series this time around.
John, I know that, you know, the analytical look of sports is supposed to take the human emotion and the romance out of it, but people then get so dependent on these numbers, they've attached a certain amount of romance to numbers. Is there an analytical stat? What is your romantic go-to number that you think explains who a team is, who a player is, better than anything else? What is your holy what is your holy grail of advanced metrics?
I think as far as team success, you're looking at point differential more than you're looking at wins and losses. You know, I think you just I think that can tell you how good of a team is better, you know, because, you know, sometimes you'll have late game luck that affects a team. Like, for instance, like, you know, there are teams in the Eastern Conference that are out of the playoffs that have a better point differential than teams that are in the playoffs. And that's just sort of about, you know, how they fared in late game situations. You know, Utah was a very good team last year, but just was awful late in games, and therefore their record wasn't as good as their point differential said they should be. So when you look at team success, you look at point differential. And for me, I just look how they perform on both ends of the floor. You know, are they a good offensive team? Are they a good defensive team? Are they poor on one side or the other? And then why, you know, and then you just keep breaking it down. You know, you just look at the general stats and you just keep breaking it down and figure out why they're successful or why they're not successful on either end of the floor. As far as players are concerned, I look at team impact. Like, what kind of impact does the player have on his team's success? I think that's the most important thing. Like, and people can denounce plus minus as a stat, but you know, the most important thing in basketball is outscoring the opponent, right? And plus minus is tells you, you know, whether your team outscored your opponent while you were on the floor. Obviously, the more context you can add to it, and the greater sample size you look, you gain a better understanding of how good a player is. But I think it's a key. It's one of the things that I look at all the time.
No, John, like I said, I follow you on Twitter. I think you do a great job. You're one of those guys who is an analytical guy who hasn't taken all the, you know, human nature of basketball out of your evaluations. Like, you know, you can sit here and talk about efficiency, but you also seem to be a believer in shooter got to shoot.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, definitely. And you see it. Like, there's certain players where you feel like, wow, this guy is just a little too shy. And then you see them get a little bit aggressive, a little bit more aggressive, and you realize that they can now being a threat is just as important. You know, just like a random name out of that is like a guy like Joe Ingles from Utah, who's just a very, you know, a guy that didn't shoot unless he was wide open and had plenty, you know, and was in rhythm. But as he this year, you just see him being a little bit more aggressive. He led the league in 3-point shooting for a while. I'm not sure if he still does. But just being a little bit more aggressive and being a little bit more, you know, you just see it in him. He becomes more of a threat, and that helps his teammates. You know, it helps the guys driving to the basket when he's out there on the perimeter as a threat. And then there's good shots and there's bad shots, but sometimes, you know, you've got to be a little less picky with the shots you take just to help your team.
Of all of the numbers that the Warriors have thrown down in front of us over the last 3 years, you know, 73 wins, 400 threes, 37 points in a quarter, all the back-to-back games that they've played before they suffered back-to-back losses, their 49 current games this year with 30-plus assists, which would you file under the most graphic basketball pornography? Like, which
I think the assist numbers are what I, you know, I think it's what makes them who they are, you know. And, you know, I think it's the way they have, you know, three of the greatest shooters in NBA history. But it's the way they leverage their great shooting to get even better shots. Like, you know, you the threat of the three allows them to get open layups because, one, they you know, they're smart and they take advantage of, you know, a guy overplaying the guy coming off the curl, like Klay Thompson coming off a pin down for a three, and he gets overplayed and they can take advantage of that and get something going towards the basket. So it's just their collective basketball IQ to sort of take care of advantage of those situations. And the player with the ball knowing where the player without the ball is going in that regard. Like, you just saw it, you know, you just see it with Andre Iguodala may have the ball and he doesn't have to, you know, he knows where Draymond Green is cutting. You know, once Draymond Green sets that screen for Klay Thompson, he knows that Green's going to roll to the basket. And if Green's guy overplays, you know, Klay Thompson coming off that screen, Iguodala knows that Green's going to go to the basket and they're going to have a layup. And that's one of the things I find, you know, we all see the shooting and we can all sort of appreciate how great shooters they are and how far Steph shoots from. But the fun thing to watch is how they leverage that shooting to get layups. And
yeah.
That's a key thing, because they're not just a jump shooting team as Charles Barkley would describe them. They get more layups than a lot of other teams too, because of the way, because of the 3-point threat.
Yeah. And look, ball movement has been the star of the show since this show started. It really has been. We have to run here. You can't give me an elaborate answer, and it's a tough, quick answer. What do the numbers tell you who the MVP should be? It's please do.
I point to James Harden. You know, Russell Westbrook and James Harden are such very similar players. James Harden's running the number 2 offense in the league, and Russell Westbrook's running the number 16 offense in the league. And that's the thing that I point to most. Westbrook is averaging a triple double, never been done since Oscar Robertson. James Harden is averaging 28, 8, and 11, or something like that. That's never been done since Oscar Robertson too. So I look at it as, why the Rockets successful? Because their offense, and Harden is the generator of a ton of that offense. And so that's why I find that to sort of be the difference between those two guys.
John, man, good stuff. Really appreciate you coming on the show again. I enjoy your work, and let's figure out a way to get you back on here mathematically during the playoffs, okay?
I'll be ready.
Thank you very much. John Schumann, advanced stats writer for NBA.com. It was good to have him aboard. When we come on back, we're going to have time for a little open lines. And what's in a name? A name is a very important thing in life. If you have a strong name, it helps your life. If you have a weak name, it can really hurt you. There's been studies done on this. And would you believe it? There are some names that are going extinct. We'll let you know what some few of them are next. What is in a name? What names are going extinct? We're going to get there in just a second. But first, Reverend Theodore, there's a great name. Reverend Theo calling from Hayward. How are you, Reverend?
I'm doing fine, sir. What I'd like to discuss is about the new stadium for the A's.
Okay.
The present-day Coliseum complex. Longtime Oakland residents would recognize the site as the old White Front building site. That's presently to the west of the parking lot, and there's ample room there. Next, with the present day stadium, I said to completely gut the inside of the present day stadium. When that question was posed to Andy Dolich, the sports marketing guru.
Yes.
If it was completely gutted on the inside, could it still be made into a first-class, state-of-the-art facility? And he answered, absolutely.
Well, sure. Construction companies can do incredible things. And it would take, such a massive gut that you might as well start from scratch. I mean, you really might as well. One of the things that we're going to do, Theo, Reverend Theo from Hayward, thank you very much for the phone call, sir, is next hour, in about 25 minutes from right now, Dave Cavill is going to join us. And since the last time we spoke with Dave, the situation around the Coliseum has changed dramatically with the Raiders announcing their move. So what we're going to do is see if the A's themselves now view that Coliseum site any differently as they continue to very publicly discuss a new stadium. We'll ask Dave Cavill himself coming up at 5:15, about 5:10. 5:10 he's going to join us. And then we're going to be done with the Damon Bruce Show around 5:30. Kerry Keating's going to come on in. We're going to get you ready for a little Warriors and Suns tonight. Should be fun. So, Gianna, a couple years ago, there was a book that kind of became a little bit of a cultural phenomenon, so much so that they made it into a documentary, and it was called Freakonomics.
Mm-hmm.
Freakonomics is basically a book written by an economics professor, but not about economics, about how economics and math models are built into the world around us, and he used his math models to look and analyze a whole bunch of subjects, a myriad of different topics, through Japanese sumo fixing to legalized abortion, what it did for crime rates, to looking at the world purely like through the prism of this economics professor. And it was really fascinating.
I mean, I remember.
Really, really interesting stuff. And one of the subjects included the possible role that a person's name has for their success in life. Overly ethnic names or hard to pronounce names just aren't good. And look, right or wrong, racist, xenophobic, it doesn't matter. This is just dealing in facts. It's not dealing in your emotions and the utopia of how things should be. It's how things are. And so they wanted to look at how things are. And one of the things that they use to prove that you are sort of at a disadvantage with a wildly different name is they took two totally identical resumes and changed one from Mike Smith, you know, the single plainest name in the world, Mike Smith, John Thomas, something like that, John Jones, and then replaced it with a difficult to pronounce, very ethnic name, that sort of thing. And it, you know, the look, let's just be totally honest here. The whited up resume did better than the resume that came with cultural attachments, shall we say. Now, is that noble, unnoble? Doesn't matter. It's not what we're talking about. This is the power of your name. Your name is your brand. You take it with you through life. You do not need a show to need a great name. Everyone should have a great name. When parents squander great name opportunities, all I can do is shake my head and go,
why
would you do that?
Yeah.
Now, honestly, when you told me Falcon for your son, the first time I heard it, I thought maybe I was working with a crazy person. But then you did explain it, and I got to be honest with you, it grew on me. Falcon really grew on me.
And it works with Franco, Falcon, Franco. And it is right? Truly a family name.
Exactly.
It's my family's name.
You explained it. I got it. I like it. And that kid's personality.
It fits.
It fits. He is going to grow up introducing himself as Falcon Franco.
Yeah.
His whole life. And he's just going to slay it with the ladies. I'm sure of it.
Awesome. I just hope on the mound he slays it.
Nice bedroom. Tyler Schmall, Mashable.com, says that there have been 36 baby names that have yet to be registered in all of 2017. Meaning that when babies are born and they're waiting in the hospital, their names are written down and they go to the National Name of Registries. And that's how you track who's born. But there are 36 names that have yet to be registered. And some are obvious, some are surprising. One, I think we can directly attribute it to a hated character on a very popular show on HBO. So here are the 36 names that are in danger of kind of falling out of practical use.
Disappearing.
Now, some of them you're going to be like, wait a minute, I know a ton of those. How many are babies?
Right.
How many are babies, okay?
Key.
So this is in alphabetical order, not in order of extinction.
Okay.
Okay. Believe it or not, Angela.
Huh.
Not a baby in the United States has been named Angela in 2017 yet.
And I know a few Angelas.
Now, there are a couple here that, like, Bertram. Who's going to name their kid Bertram, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
Look at it this way. If you name your kid Bertram, there's a chance that they're going to get drowned in a chocolate ocean during a chocolate factory tour or something. You know, like, Augustus Bertram. Like, that. No one names their kids that anyways. You aren't going to name your kid Bertram. You've never met a Bertram. So I'm not surprised to see that on the list. Beverly. Beverly is on the list. Cecil. Cecil.
Like
Cecil.
Cecil B. DeMille.
Cecil Fielder.
Yeah.
Carol.
Carol.
Clarence. Clive. Cyril. Deborah. Diane. Donna. Dean. When's the last time you met a guy named Dean?
Anna's son is named Dean.
Is he?
Yeah.
There you go. So that's that.
Yeah.
He's
four.
There hasn't been a Dean born in 2017. Doris, Dennis, Derek, Papa, Derek, your name is in danger.
Happy birthday,
by the way. You could be the last. I mean, clearly you're the best. But you could be the last Derek, which sounds like the worst action movie ever. The last Derek It's just 2.5 hours of you eating nachos in IMAX. The last Derek. There can only be one. Happy birthday. Duncan Elaine Ernest Jeffrey with a G, which a lot of people look at and pronounce Joffrey.
Right.
I doubt that name is going to be popular anytime soon.
No way.
Thank you, King Joffrey.
Right.
Game of Thrones. Horace.
Huh.
We used to have a Horace who worked here.
Yeah.
He's gone now. Took the name with him. Joanne, Leonard, Maureen, Malcolm, Nigel, Neville, Paula, Roy, Sally, Sandra, Sharon, Sheila, Tracy, Wendy, Yvonne, and Wayne.
There's some names surprise me. Like, I feel like Malcolm would be still kind of a popular name nowadays.
Sandra?
Sandra. I mean, I know a Sandra, but she's...
Right. She wasn't just born.
No. Yeah. I don't know any babies named Sandra.
Like, Leonard is still a normal name. I can't believe Leonard's on the list. Lenny?
Well, Diane's on the list.
Diane? That's so funny. They got Diane, Donna. Those are like my... It's Deborah, Diane, and Donna are like three of my aunt's names right in a row. So I'm surprised about that. There's some names on here are like, no duh. Who's going to name their kid Clarence anymore? You name your kid Clarence, you might as well send him to school with a wedgie. You might as well yank that underwear in a kid's crack before he's done with breakfast and be like, get on the bus, loser. Clarence.
I think people do like more creative names nowadays, too. I think people are more, you know what I mean? They put I'm not saying that they wouldn't put thought in their children's names anyway, but yes. Maybe it's not necessarily.
Have you met my son, Xylophone?
It's right.
Like, oh, God.
Apple. I mean, I know, hello, my son's Falcon, but.
I just returned to that George Carlin skit. What happened to real men's names? Like Eddie. Sam. 888-957-9570. If you'd like to weigh in on names soon to be extinct here in America, or the fact that Dave Cavill has done an unbelievable job wheeling out this season of A's baseball. That's what we're going to be talking about when we come on back. Dave Cavill is going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about the Marshawn Lynch Raider rumor and what that should mean to you. And, oh, yes, Dustin Johnson, the day before he's favored to win the Masters, fell down in his rental home, hurt him back, and might not play the Masters. Nice job. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.